It's 9:15. Your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, and Mark Webster, the Managing Director of Inglis, joins us to start our Friday program. Morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, Andrew.
Great to have you on. Well, with much anticipation, you've got a major announcement regarding the future of Inglis, particularly here in Sydney.
Yes, I do, Andrew. Look, it's a very exciting day for all of us here at the company and hopefully for the entire industry. You know, we're approaching our 150th year of service to the Australasian industry, and I think for some time people have known we've been considering how we can continue to service the industry. Clearly, being here in Randwick is challenging year by year, and we feel we've outgrown this site, and there's potential to move to a new site with more space, more car parking, better infrastructure, to set the company up for the next 100 years. And so we have taken the decision to relocate the business in 3 years' time to Warwick Farm.
And with that, you acquired land there, didn't you? Remind us how big the land is that you've got at Warwick Farm to work with.
Yeah, that's right. We've purchased 26 acres of land on the race course. It is literally on the edge of the home straight along the rail, up to the grandstand and down to the river and Governor Macquarie Drive. It's a bit of an L shape, and people will see that when the press release goes out. We'll also have access to another 10 acres of land for car parking. So we're really comparing just under 12 acres here in Randwick to 36 acres all up that we'll have use of out there. So you can imagine it's a great opportunity to build the world's best horse selling facility. It will also be designed in a manner that it can be used for a whole range of events, not just horse sales, but a range of events. We envisage incorporating a hotel onto the premises, which will connect to the selling centre. And, that'll have bars, restaurants, breweries, day spas, and all sorts of things you can imagine. So it really will be a destination for people to come from all over the world to enjoy the auctions that we put on for them, with plenty of space to inspect the yearlings, etc., that'll be on offer.
So you've mentioned that this the first sale would be, am I reading it right, 3 years?
Look, we'll be moving in 3 years. So that's in the spring of 2018. But the first yearling sales, Andrew, will be in early 2019, so in about 3.5 years from now. So we'll move there in enough time to settle in. We'll have a small mix sale in December or something to that effect, and then we'll get into the yearling sales in early 2019. And it's important that date coincides with the opening of the second M5 tunnels. People certainly here in Sydney may know that there's a West Connex project already underway, and the M5 is going to be significantly upgraded with a second set of tunnels running into the city, which will make the trip out here and back so much easier.
Well, that's a question I think many of our listeners would have just gone, really? You're going to move to Warwick Farm? But with that infrastructure underway and a bit of timing here, it's not going to take terribly long to drive from the city out to Warwick Farm.
No, that's right. Look, it's about 40 minutes at the moment, Andrew. And if we put that into context, Karaka in New Zealand, a lot of industry experts would say that's probably the best selling complex in the world, on the basis that there's lots of space to parade horses. You can see them moving freely, which allows you to, I guess, use your judgment a little bit better in buying them. It's a little more congested in other complexes here in Sydney, and the one on the Gold Coast, they're quite tight. But certainly in Melbourne, there's more space. Karaka, there's more space. And both of those two, Melbourne and Karaka, are 40 minutes out of town. You never hear anybody even mention the distance. Most people are shortlisting on the trip out. Another means of comparison, Andrew, is a lot of the major trainers, like Gay Waterhouse as an example, she spends a couple of weeks driving all over New South Wales, all over Victoria. She'll drive 4 hours down to New Haven Park or 4 hours up to Whitton, to look at a draft of 20 or 30 yearlings. We're talking about, 600 yearlings assembled in one place that'll be 30 to 40 minutes from town by the time that new tunnel is open. So, it's really not that much to ask for. And I guess the other key thing is when you do drive great distances to those studs, And, you know, when you get there, the you know, the destination's worthwhile. They look fantastic. The product's great. You know, good horses, good people, good hospitality. Mm. And they're things, of course, that we're renowned for here at English. We've got a great heritage. You know, we've been doing what we do for 150 years. We're going to respect that heritage in terms of what we build. But we're also at the same time going to ensure that it is the world's best, the best use of technology, infrastructure, and our clients will want for nothing. You know, another example will be, it'll be the only selling facility in the world that'll have a ring road running around the outside of it. And our clients, when they arrive, will be able to jump into an electric club car and literally drive around the complex. Or if they're staying there in the hotel, they get in their car and they drive from stable to stable around the place, and we keep people and horses apart for safety reasons. So there's a whole range of things that we'll be able to incorporate into the new design by starting from scratch. And it's very rare for an auction house to have this opportunity. It's really sort of a 1 in 50 or 100 year opportunity.
It is. We're talking with Managing Director of Inglis, Mark Webster, who has told you that the move is on from Newmarket at Randwick to Warwick Farm, moving in the spring of 2018, with so much work to be done between now and then. Mark, I guess as an organisation, it would have been so tough to make the decision to move. I know you acquired the land a few years ago at Warwick Farm, but the history of Newmarket, it stands as real history. I mean, it must have been a very tough decision in a way.
Yes, that's right, Andrew. Back in 2009, when we purchased the land at Warwick Farm, you know, it really was as an option of the future, because we didn't know what we would be doing, whether we would move, would we sell or not. And it really has taken a considerable amount of time to work through that decision. It's not an easy one. You know, this site here has great history, but the company has done it before. You know, we used to operate in the Sydney CBD where the Hilton Hotel is. And can you imagine if we were still trying to move big horse trucks into the Sydney CBD where the Hilton is and conduct horse sales?
Yeah.
You know, it just wouldn't be possible. So things do move. You know, we have to move with the times and move with urbanisation. And if you look back in 1906 when we started here at Newmarket, I'm told by family members that between Newmarket and the racecourse up the road, there were lots of trainers who had stables in their backyards, and it was pretty much an equine precinct right through from here to the racetrack. And now you've got, you know, a hospital and a university and residential, and we're completely separated from that racecourse. So things have changed a lot in that 100 years.
Yeah.
Our job is to ensure that all the good things about Inglis in terms of our brand, our reputation, and our professionalism, all of those good things and the heritage of the company are preserved. And you'll see that interpreted in many ways out at Warwick Farm. And, of course, Warwick Farm in itself, Andrew, has plenty of history.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's been a very popular track over the years. I think we all know that it's not at its peak now. You know, we encourage the Turf Club to invest in the facilities out there and work with us to make it, you know, a fantastic facility for the people of Sydney, who will hopefully be able to go out there and enjoy racing, but also, of course, get involved in horse racing. And it is an area on the move. It's now a liberal area. It's very progressive. You've got a second airport going in just 20 kilometres to the west. So we will be the only auction house that's got an airport, an international airport, 20 kilometres on one side and 20 kilometres on the other.
Yeah, it's going to be
literally in between the two, which would be great. And I've got to look out 100 years. I just can't look out, you know, for the next 3 or 4. I've got to be looking out long term.
Yeah.
And all of that will be up and running within the next 10 years.
Okay. Now, I know people will get the option of going to your webpage, and I know there'll be maps up and things like that, that they'll get an indication of where the building will be. I know that'll go up on your webpage, and I'll try and tweet it through the afternoon on my Twitter page. But it is a massive step, and I'd like to hear your words there, that you urge the ATC to build Warwick Farm, to build on Warwick Farm, now that you've made the commitment. Because in fairness, there would be people out there saying, yippee-i-o with Inglis, but Warwick Farm needs to be upgraded too.
Yes, look, it does. Look, when we announced we were going there in 2009, the Turf Club put out a press release at the same time, which said they'd be investing $25 million in Warwick Farm. Mm. That was under Ron Finnemore and John Cornish. And I know the new board have got a lot to consider.
Yep.
And there are no demands, of course. I'm very respectful of the decisions they have to make.
Yep.
But I do think there is an opportunity with, you know, there's a lot of land out there that has been sold off for other purposes. There's a chance to reinvest in that facility. We're making that commitment. And, you know, I hope they have another look at what they announced back in 2009 in terms of upgrading the facilities, the road networks, the grandstand, et cetera. And let's get it back to, you know, to the days where, you know, it was a major destination.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's now got the population surrounding it. There are a lot of people who live nearby. And, of course, with the new roads and tunnels going in 4 years' time, it'll be easy to get there from anywhere in Sydney.
Yeah, for sure. Can I just briefly, can I ask what the future is beyond 2018 of Newmarket? What I know there's a lot of heritage buildings out there. What can occur with the area that you are currently in?
Well, that's this site here at Newmarket was recently rezoned, Andrew. It has actually always been residential, and we've not been using it with, you know, for horse purposes with its optimised use of residential. But it's the recent rezoning allowed for you know, more modern development on the site. You know, a mix of apartments and townhouses and terraces and those sorts of things. So there's a lot of information already available on a website called talknewmarket.com.au.
Right.
And you can see there the proposed development for this site. The old house, which is heritage listed, the big barn, of course, where a couple of Melbourne Cup winners were trained, they will be preserved in the new development. All the fig trees will be staying. And it'll be a village called Newmarket Green with 700 to 800 dwellings
right.
In time, and I think it'll be a wonderful place for people to live.
Yep.
But of course, it's across the road from the biggest hospital
yep.
in Sydney and the biggest university, and there's such a demand for accommodation in the area. You know, under the Metropolitan Strategic Plan, this whole area that we're in has been determined to be a health and education growth precinct.
Yep.
And we've been encouraged by council and others to consider that, and so we think it is approaching time to move and allow it to be used for that particular purpose, and we'll do our job even better out at Warwick Farm.
Thank you for coming on and announcing it, allowing Sky Sports Radio listeners to hear it for the first time. Mark, we thank you for that with the move that Inglis has announced this morning, that they will move from Newmarket out at Randwick to Warwick Farm in the spring of 2018 with the first sale in early part of 2019. You can go to the Inglis webpage. It'll be up very shortly, I would say, Mark, to give all of our listeners and participants the idea of what Warwick Farm is all about. We thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks, Andrew, for covering this, and I look forward to talking to as many clients out there as possible in the coming weeks.
Yep. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, bye.
Mark Webster, Managing Director for Inglis, and there'll be more on that, you would say, over the next couple of days. Well, let's talk about racing tomorrow now, and Sue Walsh is online in Brisbane, comes from New Zealand with Exquisite Jewel tomorrow in the Oaks. Thanks for your time, Sue, and how is the filly going into the race tomorrow?
Yeah, she thrives since she's been over here. Loves the climate, doing extra well.
Well, she was pretty good the other day. I know Bohemian Lily won by a good margin, but your filly certainly didn't give up, given that it was the first run in Brisbane.
Yeah, that's right. And she's not really suited to doing, but Eagle Farm would have been a lot better for us. But no, we were thrilled with her the other day. Like, she ran right through the line, and she's making good ground at the finish.
The key I note is blinkers going on first time tomorrow.
Yes, she has worked in them and trialled in them back in New Zealand.
Yep.
But she hasn't raced in them before.
Okay, so you're comfortable to do it, given that she's had them on back home.
Yes, over here, like, especially around Doomben, they're going to go a lot quicker than what they do over home. So.
Yep.
Yeah, the pace will be on, so that won't be a problem.
Now, chatting with you earlier this morning, I learnt of something, Sue, is the owners of Exquisite Jewel. How much did they pay for this filly?
$400.
$400 at what sale?
Caraca?
Well, and you...
It wasn't the premier sale. It was the lesser one, but it went to the Yelling Ring at Caraca.
Okay, now, can you tell me why she only went through for $400?
No, we can't. We can't believe it, really.
She comes out of a really strong family. In fact, she was bred by Sir Patrick Hogan.
She was bred by Sir Patrick, and the owners never actually viewed her before they bought her. They just looked at the pedigree and bought a broodmare. And, yeah, it's been a rags to riches, really.
Well, sir, look, it's remarkable. It tells us, really, I've come off an interview with Mark Webster there announcing about Inglis. Things can happen at yearling sales, can't they? I mean, here's one for $400 that's chasing a Group 1 victory tomorrow in the Queensland Oaks.
That's dead right. It's good for racing too. Like, it shows people you don't have to pay hundreds of thousands to get in and get a good horse.
Yeah, exactly. And are they race horse owners, or are they a new group that just bought this horse? Tell us a little bit about them.
No, one of the girls in the syndicate, Trish Lane, she's been my best friend probably for 35 years, I guess. And with her horses together for about that long, and it's the best one she's had. So I'm pretty pleased for her.
Well, I'm rapt that they've got her there, paying that is, I'm going to say, small amount of money compared to what you normally have to buy a horse. It's a fairy tale, as you say. It's a rags to riches. I hope it really is a big day for everyone with Exquisite Jewel tomorrow that she can run super for you. Sue, we thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Good on you. Sue Walsh joining us there from New Zealand in Brisbane with Exquisite Jewel, costing just $400. Here's another, strange, isn't it, how we've linked it all together? A female trainer from New Zealand that is also in Brisbane, Lisa Ladder. Good morning to you, Lisa.
Good morning, Andrew.
Just had a chat with Sue Walsh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so what about you, Lisa, with Platinum Witness? You've obviously aimed towards this tomorrow.
Yeah, we have. I got over here yesterday and she looks fantastic and she galloped well yesterday.
What did you take out of the run the other day, last Saturday, given that Bohemian Lily won by a good margin, but I like the way she kept coming to the line?
Yeah, I just think we were just so worried about how hard she was going to pull in the running, and then we sort of said to Damien about, you know, we were worried, get cover and that, and I think we sort of got back and it was sort of a non-event. I think tomorrow we'll just leave it a lot more up to him.
Yeah. I guess the other thing is too that she's had a look around Doomben now. Is that something with her? Because I know prior to last Saturday she'd done all the racing, say, in the Melbourne direction.
Yeah, definitely, and she got a little bit off stride around the turn, and on a whole, her form second up back in New Zealand has never been that flash either, so we're sort of hoping that with a couple of those things out of the way that will help her.
The one thing is she's had a run at this trip, hasn't she? I mean, she ran second to Savara back in the New Zealand Oaks.
Yeah, she has. I don't think the distance will be a problem, not against her own age group and sex.
How do you think? So basically, you'll just let the jock dictate and just see how it ends up here. Now, I'm just getting some news on my phone because the phones don't work terribly well here. But I'm hearing now that Bohemian Lily is out of the filly is out of the Oaks.
Oh, okay.
So that has just come through on my phone here. We'll try and get some detail off air and get my phone out of the studio because it doesn't work in here, but it's just come through, a freak of nature. The Bohemian Lily is out of the Oaks. So that changes it a bit. It changes it a bit with the pace, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We'll change the pace of the race.
Yeah. All right. That's not, well, it's helped you in some way because one of the favourites has gone out of it.
Yeah, definitely, yep. And obviously the two Chris Waller ones will be the two to beat.
All right, we wish you the best. I hope all the effort to get her across and she runs well second start in Brisbane.
Thank you.
Righto. So that's joining us there, Lisa Ladder with Platinum Witness in the Queensland Oaks. So news just coming through, and it's come through on Vets. I'll text Gay off air in a moment and see whether we can get some news. But out of the first race tomorrow at Doomben is press statement number 4. It's running in Sydney, so race 1, number 4. In race 3, take out 10, Zoomania, and 11, Great Esteem. That is 10 and 11. In race 7, Bohemian Lily has come out. Race 7, number 1. And in race 8, take out 6, Crooked Blaze, 14, Tina Molina, and 15, Golden Falls. 6, 14, and 15. So that's the story. Bohemian Lily is out of the Queensland Oaks. As soon as we get some news on that, we'll bring it to you.